8 through 13, if time allows. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and to Aaron, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening and help us to understand that you are the God who can give us the words to say, who can open up our lips, who can give us opportunities, and Father, that you have prepared opportunities for each one of us to share with others the message that you desire for us to proclaim. Lord, now we pray that you'd just be with us this evening and speak to us through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, Moses and Aaron felt very inadequate in going before Pharaoh and seeking to be used by God. They'd already been met with opposition by the people of Israel when they told them what the Lord had said. Initially, the people had responded overwhelmingly. They'd gone and they'd worshiped the Lord. And then all of a sudden, when Pharaoh's opposition came, the people recanted of their faith and their trust. And also, Pharaoh's strong words to Moses caused him to doubt his abilities. And as we saw last week and again this week in the texts, Moses said, I'm a man who has got, as he says, of uncircumcised lips. I don't have the ability to go before Pharaoh, and I don't have the ability to speak, and he's not going to listen to me. A lot of times, as I mentioned, we can feel that way. And God can lay in our heart that we're supposed to be sharing the gospel with people, that we're going to be used by him to speak to people. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel totally inadequate. I'm thinking, how are they ever going to listen to me? Why would they listen to me? And Moses was feeling this. Now, this is a little different circumstance because Pharaoh had no desire to hear and to respond to God's leading. The Lord says that he's going to deal with Pharaoh, and the whole purpose of sending Moses there is he's going to deal with Pharaoh. And the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, 10 times the Lord says that he's hardening Pharaoh's heart. It also tells us at one time that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Now I want you to understand the circumstances of this whole situation, because oftentimes those that are Calvinists will use this text to say, well, see, Pharaoh was being used by God to bring glory to the Lord, and God had created Pharaoh to send to hell. That is not the case. Pharaoh had ample opportunity to repent and turn to the Lord from his sin. He willfully chose to harden his heart against the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, Pharaoh, if that's what you're going to do, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to harden your heart. And I am going to use you to show the nation of Egypt, as well as the Israelites, that I am God. And that I am the one that's in control. You're not in control, even though you think that you are. Today you have a whole bunch of people in our nation that think that they're in control. that they're the ones that are determining the future, that they're the ones that can control people's lives, that their will be done, that they're the ones that know best, and that they're the ones that should give direction. And there's a, right now we're seeing within America a cultural war, and it's really, it's similar to what's happening in the land of Egypt as God is delivering the nation of Israel out from Egypt. But as you see what's happening there is you have the world, its belief system, trying to suppress the people of God, trying to silence the power of God, trying to come against all that God stands for. And the spiritual battle that is behind this is Satan is behind Pharaoh's desire to come against Israel. And if you look at the gods that the nation of Egypt was worshiping, they were gods that were no gods at all. Other portions of Scripture give us insight into them. The apostles Isaiah and Jeremiah talked about those that were false gods, that were idols that were created by men's hands. They were gods that could not speak, that could not see, that could not hear, that had no power, because they were no gods at all. These were the gods of Egypt. We also understand that if you look at, and David Hocking in our last conference that we had 3 years ago, talked about the Babylonish religion that came out of the Tower of Nimrod, which we studied a little bit, the Tower of Babel at the time of Nimrod, which we studied somewhat when we went through the book of Genesis, and we saw that those religions that are in the world today, they have their roots there. This Egyptian religions had their roots there. And they were it was a religious system that was inspired by Satan, that was implemented by Nimrod, and that made man the center of the religious system, really directing worship towards demonic gods and Satan himself, and that's exactly what the Egyptian religion was. It was inspired by the demonic, and it was not desirous of worshiping God. That is why Pharaoh was so adamant about hardening his heart against the Lord. Even though the Lord had proclaimed, "I am the true and the living God, I will show you I am the true and the living God." He begins in that he's going to show it through Moses and Aaron. Now, as he says here in verse 1, "The Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother should be thy prophet." Now, what does he mean by a God? Now, Moses was not made a God in the sense of a God like the Egyptians would worship a God, or the God that the Israelites would worship. Rather, this means a God that the scriptures use that term in other places in the Psalms. It uses the same term where it says we have been made gods by the Lord. What is he speaking of? We come with his power, with his authority, we're his messengers, and we speak with his authority. This is going to be what Moses will be to Pharaoh. He will come and he will have the authority of God, the power of God, and God will work through him. And to Pharaoh, he will appear to have the power of God, which he will. Moses is going to do things that God is going to do through him. Moses will say things, and he will tell Pharaoh that there's certain plagues that will be coming, and they're going to come, just as he tells him. And they're things that only God could do. And Pharaoh is going to look at Moses, and he's going to see in Moses something that he's not going to understand, because in order to understand what's happening in the life of Moses, Pharaoh has to look beyond Moses and see God, the one that is the power behind him. He's unwilling to do this. So Moses will become the messenger of God. He will show the power of God to Pharaoh. He will become as God to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh is not going to respond to him. And you also see that in your Bibles. It says Moses shall be as a God with a little g. It's not going to be Moses will be God, but Moses will be the messenger of God proclaiming the truth of God unto Pharaoh. And Aaron is going to be as his prophet. Well, what is a prophet? A prophet is the one who speaks forth for the Lord. Aaron is going to be the one that is going to be the spokesman. Aaron will tell on behalf of Moses and the Lord what is coming. And then Moses will also reiterate it. Remember, Moses said, I am a man of uncircumcised lips. We studied that last week a little bit. And Moses had some type of a speech impediment, whether it was stuttering or some other thing. He felt totally inadequate, even though he had been trained in the courts of Pharaoh. And as we saw earlier, had been being prepared possibly to even be Pharaoh, having been adopted by the daughter of a previous Pharaoh. And before he left the world behind him and turned to follow God and went to the land of Midian, where he was called out of by the Lord to go back into the land of Egypt to deliver the nation of Israel. Now in verse 3, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Now the signs and wonders that God is going to do are specific signs and wonders. He's not just going to haphazardly do miraculous things. The Lord always has purposes in his miracles and signs and wonders. They're not just done without purpose and without direction. You are going to see that the signs and wonders that the Lord is going to do are going to come against the major deities that the land of Egypt worships. And as we get into the study in the next few chapters and the plagues that Moses brings, they will come against every major god that the nation of Egypt worships. We'll be discussing those gods. We'll be discussing what the land of Egypt does in worshiping those gods and why the Lord does what he does. But this is no different than when the Lord Jesus walked on the earth. The Lord Jesus performed many, many miracles. But the miracles had not only deliverance for the people, the miracles here will deliver the nation of Israel ultimately, but they also had a message. When Jesus walked on the earth, remember that when he healed people, when he delivered people from being demonically possessed, when he fed the multitudes, he also gave spiritual truths in connection with those miracles, not only to the individuals, but to all the people around them. And when he talked to them about what he was doing and the purpose of it. Also, the Lord, as you see, as you go back and read what the prophecies were about the coming Messiah, it specifically says specific things that he would do that would be miracles that would point to the fact that he was the Messiah, because only God could do certain things that he would do. There's no one in the scriptures that did what Jesus did. He fed over 5,000 people on two occasions that are recorded in scripture. He delivered those that were possessed by demons that could not speak. They were dumb. And it says that only the Messiah would be able to do this. And you see that there were others that some of the temple priests had exorcised people of demons, but they had to communicate with the demon in order to do it, and it was still by the power of God. But they had to communicate. Jesus, when he delivered the man who was dumb, who was demonically possessed, Jesus had the power because he had authority over all demons, because he had created all things. He created those angels that fell. And so we see that this, in the Old Testament, is the same thing. When Jesus does miracles in the Old Testament, there are spiritual truths that are tied to these miracles. And these spiritual truths had two purposes. One, to show the nation of Israel, you are serving the true and the living God. The other, to show the people of Egypt, you are serving false gods. If you go and you look at and read in secular history, you will see that the nations of the world, what they would do is when they would battle with one another, they would claim that their God had deity over or greater control over the other nation's gods. And it's interesting, when the nation of Israel does come into the land, one of the things that you see happens is that there's a time when the Philistines come against Israel and they capture the Ark of the Covenant, and the statement that they make is, this proves that our God is stronger than Israel's God. And they take the Ark of the Covenant back and they put it in the temple of their God, at the feet of their God. And you remember what happens? All of a sudden the next morning, the statue of their God is on his face before the Ark of the Covenant. And they can't figure out what happened, so they put him up again. And then he falls down the next day, not only is he on his face, but he breaks apart. And then all of a sudden, the Philistines start breaking out in boils, and they have all of these diseases, and all of a sudden they're taking the Ark of the Covenant and they're taking it back to Israel, and they're saying, you can have this back. What was God doing in all of that? He was showing them their God was no God at all. I am the true God. It doesn't matter that you've captured the Ark of the Covenant and you say, well, that proves that our God is greater than the Israelites' God. No, God is God. And he used that as an opportunity to show Israel how foolish they were to trust in their own abilities and not trust in God. And he also showed it to the Philistines to show, I am God. And that is the object lesson that is going to be done here as well. And this is how the Lord is going to draw the nation of Egypt to want to allow the Israelites to go, and also get the people of Israel to desire to follow and lead, follow his leading and the leading of Moses and Aaron as they leave the land of Egypt. But then he tells Moses an interesting thing. Okay, I'm going to be with you, but guess what? Pharaoh's not going to believe. Now, does this mean that Moses isn't supposed to do what God tells him to do? Now, in looking at our lives and applying it to our lives, are there going to be people that it doesn't matter if God lays on your heart to go out and share the gospel, they're just not going to want to hear, and they're going to reject the truth? Does that mean that we should quit doing it if we meet with opposition and they don't want to respond to the message that God has called us to share? The answer is no. There are people. God has given men a free will. He's given them the ability to choose to be humbled and be broken before the Lord, or he's also given them the choice to reject that message. The Apostle Paul talks about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and he says it's to the Jews he's become a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles he's foolishness. What is he there? Is that to all the Jews and the Gentiles? Well, no, because we know that we're sitting here this evening. We're believers. We're all Gentiles, and he wasn't foolishness to us. We accepted and received him. There are Jewish people that accepted and received him. The early church was all Jewish, and they'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So what was Paul speaking of there? Well, there's going to be those that are not going to want to hear the gospel, and those that reject the gospel, the Jews, they're going to say, well, we don't believe that he was the Messiah, so he's a rock of offense to us. The Gentiles are going to be like the ones that were on Mars Hills that were saying, well, this man, remember some of those that rejected and didn't hear it? They said, well, this man's a babbling. He's not making any sense. He's talking about this one who's resurrected, rose from the dead. And then some of them wanted to hear nothing more. He'd become a foolishness. The gospel had become foolishness to them. Did that mean Paul should stop preaching? No. It meant that he should still go out and do it. Just like Moses, even though the Lord's telling him, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's not going to respond to you, but you're still to go out and proclaim the truth. Now, when Moses does this, there's an interesting thing that you're going to see. Not only was the nation of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, but it also says that when the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude that came with them. Who were they speaking of there? They were speaking of Egyptians that saw that the God of the that Moses was proclaiming was the true God, was the true God. And they came out as believers, believing in the true God. And they were delivered from the false religious system. And so we see that we are not to stop proclaiming, just as Moses was not, and we are to fulfill God's commission on our life. And the Egyptians shall know, and the purpose of Moses proclaiming this, and the purpose of God hardening Pharaoh's heart, was Pharaoh was totally wrapped up in his religious system. So much so that if you look at the Egyptian system, Pharaoh was being worshipped as God. In our world today, you say, well, that can't happen. In North Korea today, the leader of North Korea declares himself to be God to his people. He says, you need to worship me. That's one reason that it is the most anti-Christian nation in the world. Of all the leaders in the world, he's about the only one that I believe is declaring himself to be God to his people. Some of the rest of them rule as dictators that demand that the people come and obey them, but they don't declare that they're God. He's declaring himself to be God to his people, and they have to respond to everything he says because I'm God to you. The Lord is saying here, part of the reason that I'm doing this is what? The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. I believe that some of the things that are happening right now in our world are to show the world who God is. And it doesn't matter if you've got someone who declares that they're God and he so brainwashes his people that they believe it. It doesn't matter. And God's going to show them, you're not God. And just pray for our president as he meets with them that God would be glorified out of those meetings, and that his hold over North Korea would be broken, and that the gospel can finally come into this most anti-Christian nation in the world, and that it would be able to be spoken there, and that God would be glorified. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from amongst them. And how is he going to do that? He's going to do it not even though Pharaoh says, no, you're not going to do it, not by my power, you can't do it. Well, the Lord says, I'll stretch forth my hand. Remember we said arms, hands, stretching forth like that, it's showing power. And the Lord's going to say, I'm going to show my power, I'm going to stretch forth my hand over Egypt, and nothing's going to stop my will from being done. That is the God we serve. And we should realize that his will for our lives is to proclaim the truth of his word, even as he called Moses, and his will be accomplished in the lives of people. And Moses and Aaron walked in obedience to the Lord. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Now, in closing, I just want to look at this last verse, because why did God put this in there? And Moses was 80 years old. That's 80. And Aaron was 83 years old. That's 83. When they spake unto Pharaoh. Although the people of the earth were still living longer than we typically live today, it shows that these men were not young men. They were up in age. Yet God was still using them, and they still walked in obedience to the Lord. They didn't retire. Look at both of their lives. They were done when God said, I'm calling you home. Moses continued to work for another 40 years for the Lord. Aaron continued to work for about another 39 and a half years for the Lord. They didn't retire. A lot of our mentality in America is, well, I reach a certain age and I need to retire. At 65 or 66, That's when I can take Social Security, so that must mean the time I retire, and I retire from everything, and I just go out and vegetate and do what I want to do the rest of my life, because I don't know how much longer I've got. Well, that's not to be our attitudes as believers. We're to be like Moses and Aaron. They were not young men, but yet they said, Lord, you want to use us? I'm here to be used. It doesn't matter what our age is, we need to be saying the same thing. Lord, I don't know what you've got in store for me, but you're calling me to be used by you. I want to be used. Whether I'm 60, whether I'm 20, whether I'm 80, whatever my age is, I'm going to be used by you. And I'm going to proclaim your truth just as you have told me and called me to do. And I can think of many men. Right now there's a couple of preachers that I think of. Pastor Harold Salem of down from Aberdeen, South Dakota, and Dr. Barber up in Winnipeg. Both men, I believe, are either 95 or 96. 97. They're both the same age, so then they're both 97. And they're still preaching. Harold Salem still has his program on every Sunday, preaching the Word of God. Dr. Barber still is preaching once a week on the radio across Canada. I look at men like David Hawking, who is approaching, I believe, 77 or 78, and still proclaiming God's Word. I talked to T.A. McMahon, and he's 76, and still strongly proclaiming God's Word, has a real burden for the church and a burden for Christians to encourage them to stay true and stay to the end. Dave Hunt preached until he passed, until God called him home, and until he was like about, I believe it was 83 when he quit having to preach, wasn't able to preach anymore because of health issues, but he desired to be used by God right up until the end. That should be the desire of each one of us. That's where Moses and Aaron were. And that's why Moses and Aaron were able to be used by God when he called them. They walked in obedience. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see that you have called us to respond as Moses and Aaron. We're not to worry about the results. The results of our walking in obedience and proclaiming the truth have been left up to you. But Lord, we know that we are to do what you have called us to do. And as Moses and Aaron did this, they didn't stop and say, well, Pharaoh's not going to respond, so we're not going to proclaim the truth. Lord, may we not worry about the response of others, but may we seek to honor and glorify you and bring forth your message and seek to see how you will accomplish what you desire to with the truth that we speak. Go with us now, and in the week ahead, give us opportunities to share the gospel. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing,